Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Tes. We will begin on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We had learned in the Mishnah a machlokes. What is the din if someone was originally related and then they are no longer related? That means if someone was a son-in-law and then Rachman Tzlan, his wife, passed away and he's no longer a son-in-law, is he still considered related that he's apostle aid or not? Tanakhama said he's not considered related anymore. Yehuda said it depends if they have children or they don't have children from that marriage. Says the Gemara, Amrav Tanchem, Amrav Tavla, Amrav Bruna, Amrav Halacha, Trav Yehuda. The Halacha follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rava Amrav Nachman and Halacha Trav Yehuda. The halacha does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'ken amar rabbi b'bachana amar rabbi yoichanan en halach k'rab Yehuda. The halacha does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ik de masna l'ha de rabbi b'bachana ha. Others say that this statement rabbi b'bachana made was regarding the following b'raisa. The b'raisa says azu darash rabbi yoichan b'glili. The pasuk says v'vas al kohanim v'al El Kahanim Halavim Vela Shaifit Ashiyya Biyam Mahim. You should go to the Kahanim Halavim and the Shaifitim that are there in those days. So the Pasuk is obviously a difficult Pasuk. V'chisal al datcha sh'odam hoylech etz ha-shaifit sh'loi hoya biyamav. Could you go to someone who isn't there now? What does the Pasuk mean? Ashiyya Biyam Mahim. Ella, the Pasuk is coming to teach us zeh she'yakarav nisrachi. If somebody was related and now they're no longer related, the Pasuk is teaching us that as long as now he's not related, he's kosher to be a dayan. And based on this, says Rabbi Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Halach is like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that if someone was a son-in-law, but he's no longer a son-in-law, he is now kosher to be a dayan and an aid. And as Rabbi Chanan explains this halacha, Rabbi Chanan says, we are not to understand the Gemara that because someone's wife, Rachman Shalom, passed away, they're not considered relatives anymore. Of course, they're still considered relatives. Rather, says Rabbi Chanan, the way to understand the Gemara is that the reason a son-in-law is not allowed to say Eidus goes back to what we discussed in the previous year, the concept of Ishtoi Kegufoi. And once somebody's wife passes away, obviously we no longer have a situation of Ishtoi Kegufoi. Furthermore, the Pais given the Gemara actually says this, that if testimony was seen when the person was a relative, obviously such a person cannot say testimony. Furthermore, if the person saw the testimony, he wasn't related, but then he became related when he wants to say the testimony, he also is disqualified from being an aid. What will be the halacha if when he saw the testimony he wasn't related, when he comes to say the testimony he's not, then he became related, but then when he comes to say the testimony he's no longer related? Then of course the halacha is that even though he was related in between, he is kosher to say testimony. But what would be the halacha if he was not related when he saw the testimony? When he reported the testimony, he was related, but now he's no longer related anymore, and he wants to repeat his testimony. Can he repeat his testimony? Or is the halacha that since when he originally said his testimony, he was disqualified from saying testimony, given that he was related, that testimony remains invalid forever? The Shach says that since he said the testimony when he was disqualified, the halacha remains that he is, that testimony is permanently disqualified. Titania is the Gemara. B'nei Chamud Marukva, the sons of Marukva's father-in-law. Krivim v'nisrach kumhavu. That means Marukva's wife passed away, and therefore, even though these people were originally his brother-in-laws, they were now, unfortunately, no longer his brother-in-law because his wife had passed away. Asul kamei ledina. So they came to the Torah that he should be the dayan. Amluhu. So he said to them, Pesun l'chol ledina, I am disqualified to be here a dayan. Amalei. So they said to him, my datach, why do you say that you're disqualified? Because you're obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and since you have children with our sister-in-law, you feel that you remain permanently disqualified. Anan, my sin egerta mimarava, but we could bring a letter from Eretz Yisrael, then I walk Rabbi Yehuda, that I walk doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore since our sister passed away, you, even though you were formerly our brother-in-law, can be a dayan in a case that involves us. Amalhu, so Rabbi Marukva said to them, Ata bekava dekira edavka b'chu, did I become connected to you with wax, with a measure of wax, when I married your sister? Of course I agree with you, he said, that we're not considered relatives anymore, given that your sister passed away. However, like a minna psun l'chaladina, I did not say that I am disqualified from being a dayan on your behalf. Ella mishum d'leitzisa dina. I know that you will not pay attention to my psak. You will not heed my psak, and therefore I'm disqualified. And as the mefarshim explained, there is no point in a dayan, or a dayan should not accept a case that he knows that the two sides will not listen to what he has to say. The Paiskim say, I saw the Azarua says it, the Shas HaTshuvas Yosef Oymet says it, that if a dayan knows that the two parties will not listen to his decision, to his verdict, he shouldn't get involved in the Din Torah. However, I did see that there are Paiskim that want to make the following distinction. They say, if it's a situation where he is, where he is the only Bezdin, this is the only Bezdin in town, so a person has no right to avoid being a dayan. Only in a situation where there are other dayanim available, there is the halacha that he should, he can say, I refuse to be a dayan in this Din Torah, given that I know that you're not going to listen. So the Mishnah spoke about that, at least according to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that if somebody is an oyev or a soina, a friend or enemy, he cannot be an aider or a dayan. Oyev, zushish bina. It's a person that attends the chosin. The Kamma. And first we're going to learn the Gemara according to Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi, the Gemara's question is, how long is a person considered a shushbinoi that he should be considered possible to be an aid or a dayan? During the entire duration of the Sheva Brachas, a person is disqualified to be a dayan or aid for the person he's a shushbin for. Rabbanan, Mishmei de Rav, Amir Filmi Yom Rishon Ve'elech, only the first day of the Sheva Brachas. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is to determine what makes somebody a shushbin. And the first man the Amr says that only if you're a shushbin for all 6-7 days of the Sheva Brachas are you considered an individual who's a shushbin, whereas the other opinion holds that even if you're a shushbin just for one day, you are considered a shushbin. Hasayne, who is considered an enemy? If they didn't speak for 3 days because they don't get along, that's called an enemy. Tanabon. The Pasuk says, regarding somebody who kills somebody, if he's not his enemy, he could say testimony. Oinoi is a person that's looking for the bed of this individual. He, yedinenu, can be a dayan. That's why we see that if he is an enemy, he can't be an aid or a dayan. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon Sine. This is a halacha regarding enemies. Oyev Minolon. How do we know the same thing applies by friends? Answers the Gemara, Kribe Hachi. This is the way to learn the Pasuk. Vulai Oyev Loi. Not his friend. Such a person, Yidena, not can say Adis. V'loi mevakish ra'asoi, v'loi tivasoi. He doesn't look for his bad, nor does he look for his good. Such an individual, Yedinena, can be a dying. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn the Pasuk this way? The Pasuk use the word Oyev Ksiv Midei Oyev Ksiv, that we should learn it that way. Answers the Gemara, Ella Svarahu. It's a Svara why Oyev may not be a dayan. Oyev Maitama, what's the reason that an enemy can't be a dayan? Mishum Demacha Kedate, because the person doesn't like the litigants, and therefore he will not be objective in judging him or testifying for him. Ayev nami mikvedate. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan say that a friend or enemy can be an aid. Disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, ask the Gemara of Rabbanan, hayloi ayev loi v'loi mevakish ra'asoi, that they don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda's psak. My darshbe, how do they learn this pasuk? Answers the Gemara, chadl dayin. The Rabbanan agree that even though one cannot be one who's an oyev or a soine can be an aid, they can be witnesses, they agree they cannot be dayonim. Because a friend or an enemy cannot be objective. Although the Marik points out that when the Gemara is saying here that according to Rabbanon, someone who's an oyev or a soina cannot be a dayan, that's only when we have a bezdin kavua, when there's a situation that there's a standing bezdin in town. So a person who's an oyev or a soina cannot be on that bezdin. However, as we learned at the beginning of our parak, there's also a bezdin of a zablo, zabar leyechad. To choose as a boyer someone who is your friend or enemy, that is obviously not going to choose an enemy, but a friend is acceptable. Idach, what does the other pasuk come to teach according to the Rabbanan? Ketanya, Am Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, v'uloy oyev loy mevay mevakish v'asoy. If you have two Talmid Chachamim that don't get along, they cannot be together dayonim in one case. And the reason is because since these two individuals don't get along, one will not be prepared to listen to what the other person has to say and agree if the person is saying the right thing. Based on this, says the Sma, it's only enemies who can't sit on a din Torah together. But friends who are willing to listen what one has to say, but what each one has to say, they may sit on the same din Torah. Furthermore, and there's a machloikis hapoiskim, if b'di'evid, such two individuals sat on the same din Torah, is the din Torah b'di'evid acceptable or not? It's machloikis ha-poiskim, and the opinion of most poiskim is that b'di'evid, the din Torah is a valid din Torah. There are poiskim that want to draw a distinction between a din Torah between a situation where they're terrible enemies, the data halach is that the din Torah is not a valid din Torah, versus a situation where they just don't get along. Which in fact is part of the question that I saw that the Paiskim, that the Mefarshim asked, the Urim V'Tumim asked this question. We just learned earlier in the week that the halacha is that, according to Abaye at least, that if two people are, if somebody's a Rasha, then he's disqualified from being a Dayan or an Aid. So here, if one person hates a Jew, certainly he should be considered a Rasha. And how could he be considered kosher to be a Dayan? So the Mefarshim answer, one answer I saw is that they're not really enemies for a long time. It's just a temporary situation that these two people are not getting along. But another pshat that I saw is that when Al Gemara is saying that two people who are enemies should not sit on the same din Torah, the Gemara doesn't mean that they are enemies. A Jew is not allowed to hate another Jew. What it means here is that they're not getting along with each other, and therefore, since they don't get along, it's inappropriate that they should be dayonim together. The Mishnah continues teaching us how the Beis Din procedures go. Says the Mishnah, Ketz Abaytkim's Eidim. How did we examine the Eidim? Hoy machnisen asan lecheder, they would take him into a room, umayayimen elayim, and they would scare the Eidim. Umayitzin as kol adam lechutz, and they would take everybody outside of that room. Here we have a number of machloikis. What does it mean, umayitzin as kol adam lechutz? One opinion is that everybody is taken out of the room. Even the Balidin, even the litigants. Another opinion is that the litigants themselves are never taken out of the room. Because the Pasuk says, V'omdu, that the litigants have to be there during the Din Torah. And in fact, how is the first opinion going to understand that the litigants are removed from the room? So the first opinion is going to have to explain, I saw, that what happens is that first the Dayonim say their psak, and first the Edim say their testimony, where the litigants are there when they say the testimony. And when our Mishnah says that the Balei Din are taken out of the room, what the Mishnah means is that they're taken out of the room for the questioning and the intimidation that our Gemara just taught us is about to take place. Now, there's another pshat. According to the pshat that the Balei Din are kept in the room, the question that comes up is, what about the spectators? May the spectators remain in the room for the duration of for this while this takes place? And here too, again, it's part of the machloikus. Certainly, according to the opinion that the Balei Din are removed from the room, they will agree that the spectators are taken out. But according to the opinion that the Balei Din remain, there's a machloikus of other people, Tosfos Yontif discusses this, may be in the room or not. But certainly, the two Edim are examined, each one independently. And they ask him, Emor, you're saying testimony that this person owes the other person money. How do you know? And as the Yad Ramah and the Ran say, that only if the Edom come and say explicitly, we are here to say testimony that Reuven owes Shimon money, that's when we begin this process of asking questions. However, if it's a situation just that they're not coming to say it as official witnesses, then less questioning is required. Im Amar, hu amar lishani chayv loy, if he says that I heard that this person said I owe him money, ish ploini amar lishu chayv loy, or I heard from somebody else that Reuven owes Shimon money, that's a situation of aid mipli aid. The halacha is loyama klum. And as the Mefarshim say, and first Yisrael says this. Even though they're saying that it was an ish pliny, it was an ish, it was an important person who said it, still the halach is we don't accept what they have to say. Ach yomer, until they explicitly say, b'faneinu hayda shuchayva misayim zuz, that he explicitly admitted in front of us, and we'll explain this more in the Gemara Mitzvashem, that he owes the money. The Tosfos Yontif says that the Mishnah chooses the number 200 to teach us, even though Masayim Zuz is considered a very significant amount, that was the amount that the Gemara always says is the amount that a person needed to live on, it doesn't make a difference what the amount is, the halacha is always the same. Vakach Machnis and Sasheini, then the second witness is brought in, or Baitkin Asayin, he too is examined, and Imtsa Nimtsa Devrei Mechavonim, if their words are the same, Nosim Nosim David, the Dayanim begin to deliberate. Beautiful vart from the Gra. The Gra says, the Mishnah says, Imhim Tzedvarim Mechavonim, if their words are the same, we deliberate. If the words are the same, it's great. Why is deliberation required? So says the Gra. If the two Edim say the exact same thing, that is the greatest reason to be concerned that something is wrong here. The fact that they're saying the exact same thing. That's what the Mishnah says. If their words are exactly the same, we need to be concerned that they rehearsed to say the exact same words, and that's why Noisim and Noisim Medover, we need to do some deliberation. So now, says the Mishnah, Shnayim Amrim Zaka, if two of the Dayanim say that he's innocent, Vechra Mechayiv, or Shnayim Amrim Chayiv, Vechra Mechayiv, the halacha is his chayiv. However, Echer Omer Chayiv, Echer Mechayiv, Echer Mezakai, or Afil Shnai Mezakim, or Shnai Mechayivim, Vecher Omer Eni Yedeya, one says, I don't know, the halacha is, Yishtifin HaDayonim, then we have to add Dayonim. So as the Rishonim explain, even in a case that the Mishnah is teaching us, that even though two of the three Dayonim are in agreement, so it wouldn't make a difference if what the third person would have to say. We already have a majority. Still, says the Sma and other Rishonim in explaining our Mishnah that a psak has to be reached by three Dayanim giving their opinion. And if we don't have three individuals giving their opinion, the halacha is that this is not considered a psak halacha. The Mishnah says, Yosifu HaDayonim. How many Dayonim should be added? So the opinion of most Rishonim is that we keep on adding two Dayonim. Why do we have to add two Dayonim? There are Rishonim, in fact, that say that we only have to add one Dayan at a time. Why are there opinions that say that we have to add two Dayonim at a time? So I saw that the Rishonim explained because we need to be concerned that perhaps the first Dayan who said any Yedeya will now say, you know what, I do have an opinion. And if we have only four people, because we only added one Dayan, we're not allowed to have a Besdin of an even number. That's why we add two Dayanim, that in case the original Dayan who said any Yedeya says, now, you know what, I do know what the pasuk, and I do have an opinion, we will have a proper quorum. And in fact, perhaps that's what the Machloikis Rishonim is based on. Can a Dayan, in a Dine Momnes case, who says any idea, reverse himself, and they say, yes, I do have an opinion. Furthermore, let's say we continue having a deadlock, because these Dayanim either deadlocked or don't know. So our halacha is we keep on adding up till 71, but once we reach the number of 71, there's no Besdin that's larger than 71, and they have to try to come to a decision. If they still remain deadlocked, then the halacha is we leave the money b'chazaka of the person who's holding the money. Gomer Sadover, when they finish the deliberation, they would bring the litigants back into Besdin, and Hagol Shabbat Dayanim Omer, the Rosh Bezdin would say, Ish Plani Ata Zakai, Ish Plani Ata Chayiv. And as the Tosfos Yontov explains, we need that it should be the Rosh Bezdin offering the verdict, because otherwise, as we're about to learn in a moment, we don't want that the Dayanim, each Dayan should say his own opinion. Rather, Bezdin comes to one decision. And it's only appropriate that it should be the Godel Shabbadayonim declaring the verdict. Says the Mishnah. How do we know when they leave Bezdin? Lo Yomer, the Dayonim should not say, Ani Mezaka, I really held you were innocent. V'chaveri mechayvim. Aval ma esa shechaveri rabbalai. What can I do that they were in the majority? Azen nema, l'shelach rocha ba'mecha, ha'ilach rocha megalasayit. And as the Mepharshim say, if we have both Pesukim as the Girsa. The first Pesuk, why isn't the first Pesuk, which is a Pesuk in the Torah, enough? Because the first Pesuk that says, L'Selech Rochel Ba'Mecho, one would we think that it's only considered Rechilus in a situation where his intention is to cause damage. Here the Dayan's intention is not to cause damage. All he's doing is reporting the facts. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hoylich Rochel Megalosoid. Somebody who acts this way, even though he doesn't have any malicious intentions, still it's considered Rechilus. And so in fact Paskins the Chavetz Chaim, that even if what you're saying is true, still Rechilus it remains. So the Mishnah spoke about intimidating the Edom. Ask the Gemara Heichem Rinalu exactly what is said to them. There's no clouds and there's no rain. If somebody is dishonest. So Rava says this is not really something that's going to frighten them. Because the Edom could always say for 7 years there was a famine. Somebody who has a good job wasn't affected. And therefore this will not scare them. All types of terrible magefis ish come because people lie. This too will not necessarily frighten them. For 7 years there was a plague in the city. Somebody whose time to die had not yet come did not pass away. And in fact, it's interesting that the Maril in the Tshuvas, based on this Gemara, says that if there's a plague, there's a devil in the city, people don't have to run away. Because whoever is destined to die will die, Rechman Tzlan, anyway. And the person who's supposed to live will live anyway. Many Paiskim disagree. Ela Mervashi, Omli Nosim Mazutra, Amrin Lahu. What we say to the Edom is, Sadi Shahakri agree Israeli. False Edom, people that hide them, hate them. The Ksiv, Vashiva Shnaim Anoshib Name Neal Negdoi, Vidu Lema Bracht Olehim Vamelech. Which means as follows. We remember we mentioned the story the other day, where Achav and his wife Izevel wanted to get the field of Novus Israeli. Novus HaYisraeli refused to give up his field. So Izevel told Achav, I'll tell you how we'll be able to get his field. We will accuse him of treason. And Aloch is somebody who's accused of treason is liable to death. And she took two false witnesses to say, And the Gemara says that she herself call these witnesses Bleal, corrupt people. So we see that they're hated by the people that hired them. So Farshim says, so was that going to be a reason to prevent somebody from saying false testimony because the people who hired them hate them? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that they're going to be concerned that the people, since they hate them, will ultimately expose them. Another pshat is, why would somebody agree to say full testimony on behalf of someone else? Because he wants to find favor. He wants to do that person a favor. But here the Gemara is teaching us that they're going to be hated anyway. So our Gemara taught us three different statements that are made to the Edom. So what is actually said? So I saw two pshatim in that too. One pshat is that all three are said. Another pshat is we actually have to look at the situation, and depending on what will intimidate and what will most bother the Edom, that is what is said to the Edom. So the Mishnah said, if the Edom said, Imama hu amali, that the person said that this person told me that he owes somebody else money, the loch is, it's nothing, because Messiah Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, Dom Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Tzarech Shoymar, they atom Edom, they have to be appointed as Edom. Machloikus Rishonim, is it required that they always be appointed as Edom, or is it enough that there was a Haidog Mura, that the way that the person admitted that he owes the money was very obvious, that it was a full-fledged admission, that would be enough that he should be considered like Atem Edom. Itmanami, Amr Abchiba Abba Amr Abyochran, Monali Biyotcha, if one person says to another, you owe me $100, Amalei Hen, Lamacha Amalei, and the next day he says to him, Taneuli, give it to me, the Aloch is, Omar, the person who, even though he originally admitted that he owed the money, can now say, Mishata Nibach, I didn't mean it, and he's potter. However, there are certain exceptions to the Halacha. One is, if it was a Shimera who admitted. But Shimera, we assume, was more serious about what he said. Another exception is if he said it in front of a Bezdin. Another, then he can't say Mishata Nibach. The Torah says if a kinyan was made on the statement, he cannot say Mishata Nibach. There's a machloikus rishonim. If the loiva said the statement without being challenged by the malva, he just came on his own and said, I owe you the money, so nobody forced you to say so, can you then say Mishata Nibach? That actually is a machloikus rishonim. Tanina mihachi, manali biyotcha, if somebody says, do you owe me money? Amalei hen, Lamacha Amalei, and the next day he says, Taneli, give me the money you owe me. Amalei Mishata Nibach, I was joking, potter. If he had witnesses standing behind the fence, do you want to admit that you owe the money? I'm scared that you're going to bring those witnesses. And the next day he says, give me the money you said you owe me. Amalei, and he says to him, Mishata Nibach, I was just joking, potter. V'an tan, and then the Mishnah says, V'ain tayanim lemesis, we don't make a claim on behalf of a mesis. A mesis is somebody who tries to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, mesis man dechashmei, who mentioned mesis in this brisa, that the brisa teaches us the halacha of a mesis? Says the Gemara, Chsuri Mechsura, Vachitani. This is what the Brisa teaches us. Im Laitan, if the person himself doesn't claim that he was joking, ain't Tayanaloi. We don't make a claim on his behalf. Ubedin in the Fashis, but when Din in the Fashis, Afagav Laitan, if a person could have made a claim, could have had an argument, but he didn't make it, Tananloi, we claim on his behalf. Mefarshim explained, the reason we do the distinguish between Din and Farsh and Din and Mominus, Pash Pshat is, Din and Mominus, money, the money can always be returned. But if Chas V'Shalom, by Din and Farsh, there's no going back. Another Pshat is, by Din and Mominus, since not that much, it's only money on the line, a person is not that nervous, and he knows how to set forth his own claims properly. However, by Dina Nefashis, given that it's such a serious situation, we have to be concerned that the person is not 100% clear, and given the pressure he's under, and therefore we help making tainus for him. However, the ain tayanin lemesis. We don't do that on behalf of somebody who is a mesis. And as the Ian Yaakov explains, a person who's such a cunning individual who does such things, so he's considered a very smart and cunning individual, and we don't make claims on his behalf. Maishta mesis. Why do we treat a mesis differently? Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina Mepirkei Rav Chiya Abba Shmili Shani mesis Trachman Amar Lo Sechmo Lo Sechbal Olof. Amram Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amram Yonasan, Menayin Shein Tayan El Mesis. How do we know that we don't make claim for behalf of the Mesis? Menachish Kadmoni, from the story with Chava and the Nachish. Domer Reb Smoloi, Habitan Toyle El Nachish Litoin. The Nachish had a lot of excuses, Veloi Ton. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't say them. Umnei Maloi, Ton like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tain on his behalf? Because he didn't tie in himself, and he was a mesis, and we learned ain't tying in a mesis. Why was he considered a mesis? So some say because what he said was the yisem kelikim yode dover tayvara. So that's considered a mesis. Another pshat is that he wasn't a mesis for avodah zara, but we're learning a kavachomer. If in that case HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tain on his behalf, certainly by avodah zarah, which is such a terrible sin, we don't tain on behalf of a mesis. But Rav Moshe has a very interesting psak. Rav Moshe holds that mesis is not limited in any way to avodah zarah. Rav Moshe says if somebody convinces a person to do an aveira, he's considered a mesis. Rav Moshe says a chiddush in a tshuva. Rav Moshe says if somebody tells somebody to come to shul on Shabbos and it's impossible for that individual to come to the shul on Shabbos unless he would have to drive, he just lives too far away, there's no other way to get to the shul, Rav Moshe calls such a person a mesis. So the Gemara says that the Nachish could have made a claim. What was the claim that he could have made? What was the claim they could have made on his behalf? Divrei Talmud, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishoimim. If the Hashem said, "Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas," and I tell you to eat, of course you have to listen to Hashem. Divrei Rav, Shoimim. So ask Tosfos if that's the case. So every Mesis could say that. Why is it not a claim? So Tosfos answers: every person is warned that he's not allowed to try to convince another person to do an aveir, to do avodah zara. So of course he can't say divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishaimim. He has his own isser from doing so. The nachish, however, didn't have that isser, and therefore the nachish could have had that claim, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't claim on his behalf. So the question is, isn't the nachish we know is the satan? So isn't that the job of the satan to try to convince Yetzahara, to try to convince people to do Aveira? So Chassam Sofer says the issue here was that not only did he convince Chava to do an Aveira, but he also convinced Chava to have a husband join in the Aveira. That is worse. That is not necessarily the job of the Yetzahara. Amachiskia. How do we know that if somebody does more than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's improper? Shnemar, Omer l'kim l'soichel men of l'sigabai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam told Chava, you shouldn't eat or touch the tree. And then, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told him not to eat. And what happened was the Nachash forced Chava, didn't force her, but pushed her to touch it, and nothing happened. And therefore he showed her that just like nothing will happen if you'll touch, nothing will happen if you'll eat. Had Adam never have told her about eating, we would have never come to that problem. The pasuk says regarding the dimensions of the Oren, the Torah says, if we took out the first Aleph and put it after the Mem, it would be Mosain, which is 200. So we see how one letter can make such a difference. Ashtei Asi, Rav Ashi Amar, Ashtei Asi Urias. If we take out the ayin, Ashtei is 11. Without that ayin, Shtei Asrei, it's 12. Every letter makes a difference. So the Farshim asks the obvious question. Here we're saying, Kol HaMoisef Gareya, don't add. Yet we know all of Shas, all of the halachas that we know about are the Rabbonans. That Rabbonans did add different Gedorim and Sayogim. Al Gemara is teaching us Kol HaMoisef Gareya. So the Chedush HaRim says an interesting teretz. Chedush HaRim says that at the time of the Aveira of Adam v'Chava, they didn't have yet a Yetzahara. The Yetzahara only came to them after they did the sin. Who needs Gedorim v'Siyogim? People who have a Yetzahara. Adam v'Chava, who at that time didn't have a Yetzahara, didn't require Gedorim v'Siyogim. But most Mepharshim explain, the Shem Shmuel says this pshat, that Avada, Gedorim v'Siyogim are required. That's what all the Rabbonans are about. However, we have to know what's what. We have to know what's the Rabbonon and what's the Raisa. Adam HaRishon's mistake, so to speak, was that he equated the Isser that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them don't eat to his own Isser of don't touch. And that was the mistake. Amar Abaya, so it says Abaya, Lo Yishanu, Damim Shatin Nibach. Chazal taught us that if the witnesses are designated and the person then says Mishata Nibach, I was joking, it's not considered anything. But Avil Omar Lahay Dvarma Oilam, but if the person he has the right to say Mishata Nibach, but if he said Lahay Dvarma Oilam, but if he says that it never happened, and the witnesses that say we did hear you admit that you owe the money, the witnesses contradict his statement, so Huchsa Kachran, he's proven as a liar, and therefore he's not believed when he says afterwards Meshata Nibach. Amra Papa Reid Rav Achbar Ada Hachamri Meshmei Derava Komin Shidachti Leidachirinchi. It's not true. Sometimes a person, since the statement was made only in jest, so he says I didn't remember it because it's a meaningless statement, and therefore he could say Meshata. He could say, even if he says that he forgot the earlier admission, he could say, I forgot the earlier admission, and he will be believed. Says the Gemara, Hahuda Achmalai Einim L'chavri B'kilte. There was a person who hid witnesses behind the bed curtains to have the Edom hear the other person admit that he owes the money. Amalai Mona B'yotch, Amalai Hain. Amri Iri V'shchivi. The people who are up and are sleeping in this room should be Edom. Amalai Loi. No, I'm not accepting Edim. On Rav Kana, Hamalei Loi, he says, I'm not considered, I didn't accept Edim, so it's not considered a situation of Atam Edai, and admission is not an admission. Similar incident. Huda Achman Edim Bekivra Lechavri. There was somebody who hid witnesses in the graveyard. Amalei Non Miliotcha, Amalei Hein. So again, the person said to him, Chaya Mesi Lehavelach Sade, may the alive and dead people be Edim. Amalei Loi. Amr Shimon Hamalei Loi, and the admission is not considered a admission. Amr Vina Vitem Rapapa Shmami Namiha. From these incidents, we can learn Had Amr Yudam Rav Sarach Shiyamei Atam Edai. He has to be designated as Edim. Loi Shna. It doesn't make a difference ki amam loiva, if it's the loiva who designates the edim, loishna ki amam malva v'shasuk loiva, or if the malva designates the edim and the loiva remains silent. Because only in these situations where the loiva said loi, that he's now willing to accept them as edim, therefore they're not considered witnesses. Avali shasuk, had he remained quiet, hachinami, it would be considered a valid admission. Says the Gemara, there was a person where everybody said he has a whole measure of debts. He owes a lot of money. Omar, my mask be ella plenty plenty. So he said, why do I have such a reputation? The only people I owe money to are this and that individual. Also to view Ladino Lakamed Rav Nachman. So these two people who he so to speak admitted that he owes money to called him to a din Torah. Omar Rav Nachman. Adam Osish Loy Lashbi is Atzmai. sometimes people say that they owe money just because they want people, they don't want people to think that they're wealthy, and therefore we're not going to take this admission seriously. Who have gavra? There was a person. Who have a karlei akper the shachvid dinri? They called him like a mouse who sleeps on the norm. And I saw the mafarshim explain, because the Gemara says that mice collect a lot of food, even though they will never need that much food. Here too, what happened was that this person, people said he collects so much money, even though he'll never need it. Kika shachav amar planyim planyim masik bezuzi. These people have claims against him. Basa the tavinu. No, kika shachav, as this person was passing away, amar planyim planyim masik bezuzi. I owe these people money. Basa shachav. So now he passed away. Asa tavinu liyarshim. The people who he identified that he owes money to came and said, "Give us the money." Came to the yarshim to say, "Pay up." When is there a concept that a person doesn't want to show that he's wealthy? That's only as long as he's alive. Because a person, as long as he's alive, doesn't want people to have the impression that he's a very wealthy individual. But here he said it as he was dying away. And therefore, the estate has to pay the money. Parapalga, they started paying up half the money. Tavila dina leidakpalga. So these people wanted the other half of the money that was seemingly owed to them. Asa kamed Rav Chiya. Amlu, and Rav Chiya disagreed. And he said, shem sha'adam asa shloi lashbiyas atzmai. Just like a person doesn't want people to think that he's wealthy when indeed he is, kach adam asa shloi lashbiyas bonav. A person does the same, that he doesn't want his children to think that they're wealthy and spend away the money when they're really not. And therefore, the estate does not have to pay the money. So they asked Nazel v'Nahadr, do we have to return the money that we already received? The money that you got, you could keep. If a person admitted an obligation in front of two Edom, and it was even a Kenyan, Kaisfin. The Edom could record this in writing, which we know, as we've learned many times, that a milva b'shtar is a much more powerful type of alvah than a milva apeh. Vimlav, but if there was no kinyan, ain't kaisrin. Says the Brayso further, b'fnei shloisha, if the admission was done in front of three people where there was no kinyan. Rav Amar kaisrin, since it was done in front of three people, that it could be recorded. Rav Asiyama en kaisvin, since there was no kinyan. Hava ovda, says the Gemara, there was a situation where it was done in front of three Edim. V'chashtei Rav l'hadar of Asi, and Rav agreed not to allow it to be written. Amar of Adabar Hava, Ha'adisa, a note of admission. Zimnin kaisvin, sometimes it could be written without consultation of the loiva, the zimnin loikasvin, and sometimes it's not. Kantvi viyasvi, if the three individuals were already sitting together anyway, and this person comes and says to them, I owe somebody else money, then the loch is loikasvin. We don't write it. But if kantvi inu, that he, just because he gathered them, that shows a much higher level of seriousness and kasvinin. Rav Amar, Rav Avila says, Afila kanfinu iunu, even if he gathered them like a svinun, ad amalei, not just that he gathered them, but he has to officially appoint them, havalei dayonim. Mabra, Rav Ash Amar, Afila Amar havalei dayonim, like a svinun, until kovei dechte. They make a special official place where they're going to sit as a bezdin. V'shalchi umazmin ala beidinin, and they send the summons, then and only then I consider it official bezdin. Hide metaltlin. If the loiv admitted that he owes metaltlin, v'konamayodai, and there was a kinyan, kaisin, then we write, v'mlav, ain't kaisin. But if it's real estate, even though Loikonomiyodo, ask the Gemara Mai. A Maimama in Kaisvin, Mazotra Ama Kaisvin. Then we could write, Vilchus Kaisvin. Why? Because by Matantlin, it's Mechusari Gvaina. They have to be, they still have to be collected. Whereas real property, real estate, automatically reverts back to the true owner as soon as he admits that it belongs to the other person, and therefore the note could be automatically written. Says the Gemara Ravina Ikla the Midraya. Amle Ravdimi Barhuna Midraya Le Ravina. Batatlev Istam Benayu. If somebody admitted that he owes a movable object, and the object is here, what's the halacha? Mai. Is it considered like karka or not? Amle, since that item is here, so it automatically, so it just has the same characteristic that it can automatically revert back to its owner, and therefore it can be karka dummy, and a note can be written. Rav Ashi Amma, kivin mechasri gvaina, since they need to be collected, we can't say it's similar to real estate, because movable items are deposited into the ownership, into the possession of the loiva, and therefore it's mechasri gvaina, and it doesn't revert back automatically, and therefore we can't write the note in such a situation. Says the Gemara, Hayat this the Lava Kosaba, and there was a note of admission, Amalon Kisva Chusma Vavale, but it wasn't written into the note that they were instructed to write it. Abai Varova Dhamma Tavayu, Hainad Rishlokish. This is the dinner of Rishlokish, Dhamma Rishlokish, Rishlokish taught us, Chazaka, Eina Eidim Chosman Lashtar, Eidim don't sign onto a document, LMK Nasa Godel, unless it was made with a gadol. Here too, we could assume that it was made properly. Maskler Rapapi Vitem Rafun Ber Yeshua. Mika Eidit Anan Lo Yedinen Besafir De Beidani Yadai. Is there something that we, the Dayanim, don't know, but the Seifrim do know? There are many Dayanim that are unfamiliar with the halacha that Eidim can't write a shtar oideisa without specific instruction. So how can we assume that the Seifrim and the Eidim didn't write this document, that they only wrote this document with getting the proper instruction? It says the Gemara, Sayonu l'saf d'bay v'yadi, they asked the Seifrim of Abaya, and they were aware of the requirement that they have to get instruction to write a shtar of Disa, and similarly l'saf d'Rava were asked v'yadi, and therefore we could rely on it. However, the Paiskim say, this that we could rely, that the Seifrim would have only have written the document if they got specific instructions, is only by Seifrim in the Bezdan of Abaya v'Rava, who are great individuals. But Seifrim in another venue are not necessarily considered such great individuals that we should automatically assume that the document was written properly.